Certainly good to see everyone. Thank you for being here today. And as always, if you're visiting with us, we certainly appreciate your presence. Thank you very much for being with us here this morning. Two men were out walking in an open field, and they came to this huge hole in the ground. And they were curious about just how deep it was. And so one of the men picked up a handful of rocks, and he threw them into the hole. And he listened to hear them hit the bottom, but he didn't hear a thing. And so the other man picked up a couple of football-sized rocks, and they threw them down into the hole, listened to hear them hit the bottom, but he didn't hear anything. Well, the two men saw an old railroad tie lying in the grass, and they drug it over to the hole, and they threw it down, but again, they didn't hear it hit the bottom. And all of a sudden, a goat came running out of the woods, jumped up into the air over the two men's heads, and fell straight into the hole. In a few minutes, a farmer walked up and asked the two men if they had seen a goat. They said, "You won't believe what happened. We saw a goat coming out of the woods. It leaped into the air over our heads and fell into the hole." The farmer said, "That couldn't be my goat. He was tied to a railroad tie." What are we tied to this morning? I want us to reflect for a little bit on the joys of being connected, tied to Jesus Christ. A Christian brother by the name of James O. Baird wrote, "It occurs to me the church must capture a greater dedication to the person of Christ or suffer the inevitable result of growing worldliness and spiritual indifference. It is only when Christ is in the center that there is any dynamic quickening force that can long sustain the principle of Christian living which the Bible enjoins. It is only when living the Christian life is first defined in terms of a personal relationship with the Savior that there is the spiritual sensitivity to truly hate sin and to be capable of Christian dedication and sacrifice." Well, I think in a nutshell, this brother wrote an important truth. The truth is, we must first of all, before anything else, come to terms with our relationship with Jesus Christ. Our religion is not just a matter of doctrine or doing good to other people or attending services, but our religion is first and foremost a relationship with Jesus Christ. Everything else flows from that. Christ must be at the center. He is the circumference. He must be the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. How close must a Christian be to Christ? I want to suggest we must be as close to Christ as the vine is to the branch. Now, there are great benefits, great blessings, and great responsibilities of being a branch in the vine. Jesus challenged our hearts and our thinking when he said, this is John chapter 15, some verses before the text that Landon read for us this morning. John 15, the final I am statement of Jesus. "I am the vine, true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so you neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they are gathered them, and they cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." Well, I want us to consider some thoughts from this passage and share some of the joys that come from our being connected, tied to Christ. Some of the responsibilities involved in being connected to Christ. One of the joys of being connected to Christ, of being a branch in the vine, is the joy of fellowship. The joy of fellowship. Verse 4 again, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. And it seems to me that Jesus is speaking here of connection, of abiding in Christ, the fellowship that we have in Christ Jesus. He didn't say, I just want you to visit a while. I want you to abide in me. Not a temporary shelter, but a permanent anchor. Not just a visit, but a permanent residence in Christ. It is in season and out of season. It is abiding in Christ when it is convenient and when it is not convenient. When it is comfortable and when it is not comfortable. When times are good and when times are bad. We need to abide in Christ on the hilltop as well as abiding in Christ in the valley. We need to stay in fellowship with God. So the branch, of course, must be attached to the vine in order for the life of the branch to be in the vine. If we disconnect somehow from the vine, we will not have the life of God in us because we have disconnected ourselves from the very source of life. It seems to me that much of the darkness that engulfs our lives today is the fact that we disconnect ourselves from the source of light and life, which is in God. Now, this fellowship is not only between us and God, but it is something between the branches. It is something between us as Christians. The life from the vine which flows through me is the same life in the vine that flows through you. We are both in the vine. Branches may differ in size, but they bear the same fruit. They are working together for the same cause. That is, they produce the fruit of the vine. And each branch has the responsibility to the vine, but each branch has a responsibility to the other branches on the vine. So can you see this whole concept of fellowship here, of us being in the vine, Jesus Christ, and you are a branch, and I am a branch, and we're in this together working for the same cause. The branches are not opposed to each other. They are working together. A unity of spirit in the fellowship of each branch. The famous Admiral Lord Nelson, on one occasion as he was about to go into battle, he had captains on different ships, and he called all the captains onto the commanding ship, and there were two captains who were mad with each other. They had a terrible disagreement. And just before they went into battle, he called the two captains together, and he took each of their hands, and he put them together, and he said, "Gentlemen, the enemy is out there. The enemy is not on this ship. The enemy is not here. We are branches working together. The enemy is out there." But number two, notice the wonderful joy of freedom. The wonderful joy of freedom. Verse 3, "You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you." The branches are cleansed, they're pruned, freed, so that they can be more productive for the Lord. Let me ask us, do we consider ourselves to really be free? Are any of us living in a prison? Are we free? Can we say with clarity and with truthfulness that Jesus Christ has indeed set us free, and therefore we are free indeed? I see many people living in prisons that are built sometimes by themselves. Some of us are living in prisons of self-doubt. Some are living in prisons of self-righteousness, self-satisfaction, self-pity. We build these prisons and we're living in them and we're not really free. If we are branches in the vine, in Christ Jesus, then Christ has set us free. We do not need to feel imprisoned because we've been set free from guilt, from the domination of sin, from the insecurity that many people live with. The wonderful joy of freedom in Christ. And then there is the joy of fullness in Christ. Look at verse 11. "These things I've spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. There is a fullness of life that comes from the vine into the branch. Peter speaks about the fullness of joy. He expresses it this way: you rejoice with joy inexpressible. Ephesians speaks of the fullness of God. Acts speaks of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Here is Paul's prayer in Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom heaven and earth derives its name, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. It thrills my soul to think about being filled with the fullness of God. When God created us, he did so with a vacuum, a spiritual vacuum, and only God can fill it. Nothing else can. We will know that fullness when we become attached to the vine. Augustine's prayer, O Lord, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find rest in thee. The joy of fullness. And then the joy of faithfulness. Look at verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So one of the responsibilities of being in the vine is faithfulness. And let me suggest faithfulness to our calling as Christians. Ephesians 4 verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. But also there is faithful to the faith. Jude 3, Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. But I think faithful with our finances. We are called to be stewards. We are managers. We're not owners of our finances. And God's law of economy calls for us to give. And then we need to be faithful to the fellowship. I sincerely believe that God has not so much called us to be successful, but to be faithful. Now, I want to be successful. You want to be successful in whatever you are doing. I understand that, and I think God desires that from us. But I think God's main concern is that we be faithful. And then there's the joy of friendship. This is verse 15, one of the verses that was read as our text this morning. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. The joy of friendship. When I think about, and we just sung a verse of Jesus, what a friend we have in Jesus. Jesus is a lifting friend. When we're down, he lifts us up. And when we're carrying a burden, he helps us. He's a lasting friend. He has promised to never leave us or forsake us. Now, you probably have some friends that you would consider those kinds of friends, but I want to tell you, there will be no other friend like Jesus Christ. He is a listening friend. We can come to him anytime. His door is always open. His light is never busy. He will not put us on hold. a listening friend. And then he's a loving friend. We will not find a more loving friend than Jesus. I believe it was one of our early presidents, but I'm not sure, but I recall that he was speaking to his children right before he drew his last breath, and he said something to the effect, "My children, I want you to know how much I love you. But I want you to know that my love will never be able to be compared with the love that God has demonstrated to you in the giving of His Son. Indeed, He is a loving friend." And Paul reminds us that while we were yet sinners, that God, you know, commends His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so certainly we need to get this relationship with Jesus Christ right first. Then I think the other things will certainly fall into their proper place. The joy of fellowship, the joy of freedom, the joy of that fullness that we have in Christ, the joy of faithfulness, and the joy of friendship. Yes, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. Are you connected to the Lord? That initial connection comes through faith, repentance, baptism, and if you're here today and need to take that decisive step, I want to encourage you to do that, to begin that relationship with Jesus in terms of that branch being attached to the vine. If you desire the prayers of the congregation for any reason, we are here to pray with you, to pray for you, to help you, to encourage you in any way that we possibly can. And so if you desire to begin that relationship, to really be attached, tied to, connected to Christ, and experience those joys that we have just shared with you this morning, I would encourage you to come as we stand together and sing our song of encouragement.